from KQED.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
On today's California Report magazine, we'll meet some rising stars in the California political scene, and most of them can't even vote yet, like this 11-year-old fighting for equal rights for kids.
A kid has to step up and explain to people that it's important and give other kids a chance to say how they feel.
Plus, we'll hang out with teens who take over the state capitol to craft and debate new bills, from naps in school to sex education.
And like yesterday, like we were debating something and someone was like, well, abstinence is the answer. And like, I shut that down too.
And we'll learn how a teenager who was a fixture at city council meetings went on to become the nation's youngest big city mayor. It's our Youth in Politics show. I'm Sasha Coca, and this is the California Report magazine. A recent survey of American teens shows they're pessimistic about the country right now. They see it as a divided place. But it also shows they do hold flashes of optimism for the future. And it's important that we hear from them because teens are on the cusp of taking on their responsibilities as voters and engaged members of our communities. 15-year-old Anushka Ambavanekar brings us this commentary about paying attention to politics.
I distinctly remember when I was in elementary school, listening to the political news on the radio with my parents. Politics is so boring, I said. No, it's not. When you get older, you'll see, my dad replied. At that time, I just viewed politics as another one of those adult things, like taxes and work. However, these last few years, I have become so much more involved in politics. Many people dismiss politics because they don't like getting involved with something so controversial, or because they feel like it's not something that is important. I see this commonly among my friends. They tell me they can still be friendly with people whose political opinions differ from theirs just by avoiding the topic and refusing to discuss it. As someone who comes from many marginalized groups, I cannot do the same. When I fight for politics, I'm fighting for myself. I'm fighting against decisions that could devalue who I am. Every political action has consequences. Not every person is impacted by them, but why should that mean that we don't care what happens? When did we decide as a society that we should only be passionate about things that affect us? I believe that politics are infinitely important, and they should be to every person who lives in this country, and even on this planet, because at some point, these policies directly impact each and every person. I believe that young people should at least familiarize themselves with what is happening throughout the world, and I encourage them to get involved with local, national, and even global politics, because the decisions made now will create the future that we young people will live in.
Anushka Ambavanekar attends Vista del Lago High School in Folsom. She's a KQED youth media contributor. So what would happen if we let a bunch of teenagers take the reins of government for a while? Well, that's the idea behind a California program aimed at teaching students about state government in the most hands-on way possible, by letting them build one and run it. KQED's Amanda Font met up with them in Sacramento.
There's a palpable excitement in the Sacramento Convention Center. Everywhere you look, it's a sea of blazers and dress shoes running off to legislative sessions, to argue cases before the Supreme Court, or lobbying for issues that teenagers really care about.
Hey guys, really quickly, I have initiatives that I need to get signed. It's for nap time during school. Have you guys signed it already?
That's Jared Savage from South LA. He's combing through the crowds collecting signatures. These delegates sound a little unsure of the nap initiative, so they ask for clarification. Jared explains that studies show students perform better when they have just 20 minutes to relax after lunch.
It helps so much with thinking, and it improves grades and test scores.
My teacher does that.
Does it help?
Yeah.
So I think it's a sign.
Jared is one of nearly 3,500 high school students who've come from delegations all over the state for the 69th Annual California YMCA Youth and Government Conference, or YNG for short. Delegates have been researching and writing bills for months. Some will end up being voted through committees to end up on the youth governor's desk. Others, like Jared's, will end up on a ballot that students can vote on using a smartphone app.
Thank you so much, Mayor.
Jared started YNG in the eighth grade. Now he's graduating high school and going to college to study aerospace engineering. He wants to be a commercial pilot. In fact, he already has his license, something he's really proud of.
Because there's only 2% pilots that are African American, so to say that I'm one of them and that I know so many, it's really awesome to be able to network with that group of people.
He says the program has helped him to take a stand when he perceives injustice in the rest of his life.
One major thing for pilots is that they're not supposed to be able to wear dreads, which I have, when they go flying. That's definitely going to get protested by me.
Elsewhere in the convention center, I find the Constitutional Convention, nicknamed ConCon. It treats California as a newly formed state. Delegates write an entire constitution from scratch. Rather than focusing on one bill topic, they just throw out ideas. Most are practical suggestions. Some, like this one from Jake Stolmack from the Crescenta Kenyatta delegation north of L.A., are a little fantastic.
We're getting rid of money, and you have to barter. There's no form of tender.
Then the delegates whittle down the hundreds of proposals by debating them.
Within the next 50 to 100 years, it's imperative that California stays ahead of the game when it comes to water, energy, and land development.
It's kind of radical, the idea of not looking at someone when they're testifying, but that doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
To go, please, if you're against Proposal 240, please say nay. Nay. This proposal does not pass.
Things can get heated. One of the proposals suggests California broaden its sex education to include LGBT students' experiences.
I would just like to point out that people are taught straight sex in school as a means of reproduction, not recreation. So, like, I don't see how, like, other kinds would be necessary.
Okay, just to... okay. Okay, like, you can't just say that, like, sex is just for reproduction. Like, it's something that people do, and we need to accept that in our school systems. Also,
the spirit fingers go wild for Charlotte Emerson's rebuttal. It doesn't exactly translate to radio, but imagine a room full of people vigorously fluttering their fingers in support. Charlotte's from the South Pasadena delegation. She says after going through her own high school sex ed class, she found it a little lacking in realism.
And, like, yesterday, like, we were debating something, and someone was like, well, abstinence is the answer, and, like, I shut that down, too.
A lot of students have said the tone is different at this year's conference. People seem more fired up in response to the current political climate. A group of students rallied in the convention center one night in protest of President Trump's crackdown on immigration. That passion carries over into many of the delegates' lives, and sometimes into the real world of politics. Nate Dahl is a YNG advisor and an alum. When he graduated from college, he moved back to his hometown of Berkeley.
Having loved youth and government as a high school student, I wanted to participate and give back to the program. At that point, we had about 10 students.
Now, 12 years later, the delegation has around 100. They've grown in size and into the political sphere. Remember the first-of-its-kind soda tax Berkeley passed in 2014? Dahl says that was pushed in large part by his delegation. And in the 2016 election,
our students were fundamentally instrumental in a Vote at 16 initiative, which will allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote for school board elections starting in 2018.
This program takes the idealism of youth and gives these soon-to-be voters the tools to turn their passion into action and their principles into rigorous but respectful debate. At a time when politics are especially contentious, it's heartening to find young people who know that part of being heard also means you have to be willing to listen. For the California Report, I'm Amanda Font in Sacramento.
Now we're going to hear from a teen who recently went to Sacramento to lobby real elected officials for the first time. Jeremiah Castillo joined a group of about 200 young people for a youth advocacy summit. He wanted to talk about something that's really important to him, preventing kids from getting profiled as gang members. He recorded this audio diary chronicling his trip.
I'm Jeremiah. I'm 14 and live in Merced with my mom and sister, Victoria. She's four.
All right.
What color chicken are you?
Purple.
Purple? Do you like purple unicorns?
My sister was only a few months old when my dad was arrested for evading the police. He had been arrested before because the police thought he had a gun. When he got sent to Merced County Jail, you know, right away, kids at my school started making fun of me and picking on me because he got arrested. I began to have anxiety attacks, and that's when school started really getting hard. This weekend, I will be taking a bus to Sacramento. We're going to learn how to advocate for ourselves and talk to our elected officials. The one thing I want them to hear is how hard it is for kids like me who are unfairly treated and targeted in school because people in charge think we're gang members, even though I've always avoided gangs and stayed out of trouble. I don't even dress like a gang member. We're at the Capitol Park where we're going to be telling our stories to our legislatives. I feel lightweight nervous, but I feel fully prepared. I memorize what I'm going to be saying.
Where are you from?
Merced.
Merced. Oh, Merced. Okay, one moment, please.
When we go to talk to our representative, Adam Gray, the staffer we had an appointment with was out of office, and no one seemed to know if we were coming.
Oh, okay. We had an appointment with you. I just couldn't.
We wait a couple of awkward minutes, and then Representative Adam Gray stopped to say hello before running out the door. Soon, another staff member come to meet with us.
Is Mercedians?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Sacramento.
Thank you.
We all introduce ourselves, and then I tell my story. My name is Jeremiah, 14 years old, and I'm here to speak on the behalf of my father, Richard Castillo, who is incarcerated in the Merced County Jail. And I know that he's on the CalGain database, and I'm afraid that I'm a part of on the list as well. All right, let me explain for a second. AB 90 is a bill that would stop the CalGain database, which keeps track of gang members and potential gang members for police, but which I think leads to profiling of young people. Because last year, 2016, at my old school in 7th grade, I was being targeted by my vice principal, who was an ex-PD officer who was giving me detentions for raising my hand or dropping my pencil or asking a question or using the restroom, like basic stuff, pretty much. And soon that detention turned into a referral and then into a home suspension. So I was here to ask for Assembly Member Gray to support AB 90 and SB 607.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
The staff member we met with wouldn't let us record his reaction to our stories. But basically, he told us he was proud of us and that stories like ours change people's hearts, and that's what changes policy. I'm really proud of my group. But then he tells us that the assembly member hasn't looked into any of the bills. And he tells us that when it comes to public safety, they've already got some other priorities.
Our education.
Before we leave Sacramento, we try another way to have our voices heard. We have a youth rally on the Capitol's lawn.
We are students.
Mighty students.
Friday for justice.
For a safer California for all. A California where all young people are safe, even if they're undocumented, LGBTQ, or if their dad is in jail. I'm good if, you know, I feel a little energized and calm at the same time. I got, like, energy built up, and I'm going to go back to Merced, and I'm going to just let it out. I'm going to keep on pushing on, have my voice be heard, making a better change for the other youth out there that haven't spoken out. I am their voice.
Jeremiah's audio diary was produced in collaboration with the youth media training program, We Said, part of the statewide network, YouthWire. The young person we talked to for our next story has something in common with Jeremiah and wants to give him this advice.
I remember growing up, I used to be really embarrassed, as if I did something wrong or there was something wrong with me because my father was in prison. So tell him not to be embarrassed, be proud of that. For you to be doing so well and to care so much with having so much adversity, that's a real strength and asset.
That's Michael Tubbs. He knows something about adversity. He was born to a teenage mom, and his dad is still incarcerated. But that didn't stop him from becoming the mayor of Stockton. In fact, he's the city's first African-American mayor and the youngest mayor of any big U.S. city today. He's 26, but got his political start back when he was a teenager.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and guests. And I'm once again honored to stand before you guys.
Michael Tubbs, at age 15, heading up Stockton's Youth Advisory Commission.
And I, on behalf of the Youth Advisory Commission, would like to thank council, city staff, along with our county judges, for taking the time to mentor teens and teaching us about our local and county government and their functions.
Dressed in a spiffy collared shirt and a tie, the teenage Michael Tubbs would joke about what he was going to do when he became mayor someday. But first, he left Stockton, got a scholarship to Stanford, interned at Google. Then, when he was interning at the White House, his cousin was murdered, one of 50 homicides in the city of Stockton that year.
The Stockton Police Department is sweeping the streets of gangs and guns this month. That's all happening after the murder rate has skyrocketed there.
KCRA3's Rich Iberi. He decided to come back to his hometown.
Just kind of working through my own feelings of guilt and grief, and also not feeling that there's sufficient focus, pressure, or even a conversation about the value of lives, the value of lives of young people, and the values of lives of young men of color in this community in particular.
At age 22, he ran for city council. Impressed by his underdog story, Oprah Winfrey sent him a $10,000 check to boost his campaign. He won his mostly Latino district with about 60% of the vote, and he won the mayor's race by a landslide. But he's inherited a city best known for bankruptcy, foreclosures, high crime rates.
There is new list out tonight that no city wants to be a part of.
Oh, boy. Forbes magazine came up with a list of the most miserable cities in the U.S., and topping the list is Stockton.
His hashtag, reimagine Stockton.
Stockton, this nation is looking for a comeback story. And today I say, why not you? Why not us?
At his first State of the City speech last month, he talked about investing tax dollars in young people, especially those growing up in violent neighborhoods, caught up in cycles of poverty and crime.
I know some people say, Mayor Tubbs, I don't think it's worth it. But the truth is, we will pay either way. And the cost of trauma and of violence is a much greater cost than job training and opportunity.
He has authenticity, and he cares about this community, and he also has the intelligence and the skills and the energy as a young person to make things happen.
Emily Ostreicher is a recent transplant from San Francisco. She and her artist husband were drawn to Stockton because they could buy an affordable furniture building studio. Tubbs' message resonates with their progressive politics. But his effort to rebrand Stockton also appeals to business owners like Ryan Haggerty, who voted for President Trump.
I think that some youth is healthy. I think a fresh perspective is always good. And, you know, he's from here, so I think he understands maybe a lot of our underlying challenges.
The mayor's aunt has also come to watch the State of the City speech. Tasha Dixon says she's not surprised. The little bookworm she knew as a kid grew up to run a city.
Michael would not leave the house without a book in his hand. Even if he was going to go practice for basketball, he still had a book in his hand. And I'm like, put the book down, you finna practice basketball, but he's still reading. I'm like, oh my goodness. So he's always been, you know, a kid that you knew that was gonna go somewhere.
In fact, when I ask Mayor Tubbs to take me on a tour of his old neighborhood, we head right to the Maya Angelou Library,
where I wrote my college apps, discovered James Baldwin, and every time I used to lose my keys, I would have to stay here until my mom got off work.
Reading, he says, allowed him to see that the world was bigger than his city or his street. Helped him to understand that he wanted to make change for young people.
Michael Tubbs, I remember you!
How are you,
man? Good.
Oh my goodness. You doing good?
Yes, Michael Tubbs.
Good job.
That's the mayor! Whoa!
Mayor Tubbs spends a lot of time visiting schools and youth programs. He started a summer book club, and he talks about books whenever he meets kids. like at this stop at an elementary school.
Did you like reading books?
I loved reading books. Do you like reading books? What's your favorite book?
Education and early investment as a child really made all the difference for me, and that's why I'm a big champion. And look, the kids are wonderful. They're awesome. They didn't create the community they live in or the families they were born to. They have all the potential in their world, so I just think it's our job to make sure they have all the opportunities in the world as well.
I want to be a lawyer, and I want to have a good education, go to college, and I want to be a teacher, and I want to grow up like Michael Tubbs.
Oh, that's too sweet. Stop.
Michael Tubbs says he does think being a young mayor helps him focus on his city's most important demographic. More than a third of the residents here are under 21. Now we're going to bring you some commentaries from two middle schoolers who are both passionate about politics. Ava and Pia are part of a program in San Francisco called 826 Valencia. It's a nonprofit that supports kids with their writing skills.
I hail from a land where women wear dresses flashing vibrant greens and reds. Children play cricket on the street. Grandmothers gather their grandchildren and tell them stories of long ago when they used to live in India, where families pray five times a day. Now I'm in a place where the Founding Fathers swore all men are created equal. If this is to be true, then how come when I wear my hijab with pride, I'm suddenly no longer worthy of company? I am a terrorist, they say, capable of harm beyond repair. What they don't know is I'm the best on my tennis team. My favorite book is Twilight. My to-go clothes are ripped skinny jeans. But they will never know, because they never asked. The only thing they need to know is that I'm a Muslim girl living in America.
People think of the Black Lives Matter movement as police killing innocent men, and people protesting, shouting, marching, holding signs for their kids. What they don't see is other Black struggles, the reasons why we protest, and how it affects people. Who knew people fighting for them because they can't? But the movement was much bigger than police brutality, but about the things Black people go through. I and my family didn't go through what those innocent kids that were killed or the family member who suffered their loss. But we go through the other things Black Lives Matter movement are trying to fix. We go through the stereotypes they give us, the struggle Black women in the community suffer from, and the types of neighborhoods we live in. I protest because I support them. I believe the struggle we go through should be solved. I think that if we fight hard enough, our problems will go away. But you still ask why you should protest. Well, because the Black Lives movement isn't just about police brutality, but the things we go through. It affects you too.
You can hear more youth stories and commentaries on 826 Valencia's podcast, Message in a Bottle. Our last political mover and shaker is 11 years old, and she's not just tapping into a larger political movement created by adults. She organized a protest specifically for kids to speak out about the issues that affect them. Our Central Valley reporter, Vanessa Rancagno, brings us this profile.
It's open house at Kiera Kaiser's elementary school in Fresno. Her fifth grade classroom is packed with parents and students.
I'm showing my parents all my stuff that I made.
For one project, Kiera had to choose a U.S. state to study. She points out the finished product, a colorful cutout dangling from the ceiling.
It's Alabama.
Birthplace of Rosa Parks.
So I chose it.
Kiera read about Rosa Parks in a book, and she was impressed that one person could spark such big change.
Get started. The people united will never.
That's Kiera chanting with her mom and sister at the Women's March in Sacramento earlier this year. After she came back home, she started thinking about how she could make a change of her own.
Because all these people were coming together for a cause that they believed in, and it was truly amazing and inspiring. So I wanted to create that opportunity for other kids in Fresno.
By giving them a platform to talk about why equality was important to them. So Kiera planned a demonstration in front of City Hall. She called it the Kids Rally for Equality. Some kids talked about bullying, others about LGBT rights. Almost 200 people showed up. One group even drove in from Sacramento. Kira says it had an impact.
People understood that since I had, or a kid has to step up and explain to people that it's important and give other kids a chance to say how they feel, people realize that it's a big matter and subject.
Now remember, Kira's only 11 years old. She follows the news and goes to a regular meeting of local activists.
I'm here to urge you to ensure that the students of FUSD have a safe and secure learning environment.
She even spoke at a Fresno Unified School District board meeting to encourage the board to pass a sanctuary resolution to protect undocumented students. Kira has done more public speaking and more media interviews than most adults. But that doesn't mean she's forgotten how to be a kid.
Hi.
Hey. How's school?
Good.
Good.
When Kira's not organizing public events, she's practicing the guitar. Or she's looking at stuff she finds around the house under her microscope.
This is my science desk, and so is that. So I do all these kinds of experiments.
Kira's independence and determination has left her parents torn between protecting her and supporting her activism, including the rally that put her in the media spotlight. Here's her mom, Nazreen Riahizadeh.
It was such a fire within her that it was kind of a turning point where we let her do something and we help keep her safe and do it appropriately, or we don't let her do something and then she's kind of on the cusp of being a teenager, and then what's next?
At school, Kira and her friend Aaliyah are trying to decide what is next after the successful rally.
So maybe this time we could do it on something else that's really bad and stuff. Like maybe like girls not getting treated fairly and stuff.
But Kira's thinking bigger.
I want to stick to the topic of inequality and equality and how that's important in our life. But I want to maybe take it a step further. I haven't really figured out how, though. I'm still searching for a way that I could do that. I'm brainstorming.
For now, she'll worry about starting sixth grade. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Fresno.
Angel Vargas helped produce that story. She's a reporter with the Know Youth Media, which amplifies youth voices on community issues and provides media training to underserved young people in Fresno. And that's the California Report Magazine, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our Youth in Politics special this week couldn't have happened without Ryan Levy, Guy Marzorati, Tim Haydock, YouthWire, New America Media, 826 Valencia, and KQED Learning. Our technical producer is Seal Muller, with additional engineering from Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer. This week, we say goodbye and good luck to our intern, Sarah Craig. Our editorial staff includes Susie Racho, Victoria Maulione, Kelly O'Mara, Ingrid Becker, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Sasha Coca. Thanks for listening. This is the California Report Magazine.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.